says, when that which is perfect, or when maturity has come, then these things will cease. And it's a thing of ego, where they were even basically saying to each other, since I'm a Peter and I have this gift, you don't have this gift, I'm superior and more mature. Hmm. But Paul is bringing it down to the basic thing of immaturity, where they didn't mesh together.
Yeah.
And fit as a fit body.
That's right. These are good thoughts. And here's the goal, folks, tonight. Nice segue. We've all been gifted differently, and so we all act differently, and we all serve differently. But here's what you got when you lump us all together in the church. Here's what you've got. This church has every gift that is needed in order to function as a biblical community. You know, sometimes we're guilty as a church of saying, Lord, send us some talented people. What do we mean by that usually? Singers? That kind of talent? What kind of talent are we talking about here? God sent us some gifted people. He says, everybody I've sent you is gifted. And in just the right way, to complement one another, to get it all done. 1 Corinthians 1:7, at the very beginning of this book, it says this, so that you come behind in no gift. In other words, you're not lacking anything, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse was written to the entire church at Corinth, even with all its problems, and it's probably one of the most problem churches of all time. That community of faith, Corinth Baptist Church, did not lack in any spiritual gift. And likewise, Grace Baptist Church has just the right amount of spiritual gifts. And when God sends us somebody else, it's because He wants to incorporate something else in here as well. He wants us to do for them, yes, but He wants them to do something for us also. And so for these reasons and many more, I would love for our church and all churches to lose this whole we, they mindset. What do I mean by we and they? Well, first of all, there's the clergy and there's the laity. So many churches, there's this huge chasm, this big divide between the clergy, look at me, and the laity. All right? Maybe all our shirts should be the same, after all. That's what I'm saying. All our collars should be the same as well. There's the pastors, there's the people. In our minds, it's like there's this big difference, and in God's mind, there's not that big of a distinction. But it's way too common in churches today that they're viewed on different levels when we're all part of the body of Christ. I just happen to be called to function in a way as a local head, okay, because the body has to have one of those too. But I'm just part of the body. And what in the world could the head do without a body beneath it? You can't lead without followers, can you? They say if you think you're leading and you look around and no one's following, you're just taking a walk. And heads can't walk either without some other members of the body functioning to keep it on the move. Please, call me Brother Jerry, all right? Steve Proctor will be here in a week and a half. He's a doctor. Most people don't know it. Yeah, that's right. Dr. Proctor. Can't you see I'm burning, burning? Dr. Proctor. Okay. Don't sing that to him when he comes. He prefers to be called Brother Steve. Hey, I'm just one of you. He taught me this. Don't go by Reverend. I hate that term, Reverend. The Bible says Reverend is his name. He's the one that's due reverence, and I am not. So where in the world did we get this idea of calling somebody like me Reverend? Give reverence to that guy. No. No. We're all ministers. We're all priests. I'm pointing at you too, according to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, he's made us all his ministers, his priests. And when he's talking to me, it's in Ephesians 4:12. It says that you are here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Some say, well, which is it? Are you for the work of the ministry, Pastor, or are you for perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry? Both! I'm here to do the work of the ministry, and the best way I can do it is to teach others to do it with me. That's what it is. That's what he's about, too. That's what Brother Jerry's about.
Ephesians 4:12 gives us that answer. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edification.
Yeah. Edifying of the body of Christ. So, we're about done here. Here's an exciting truth to cap it off with tonight. Okay, you ready for an exciting truth? You have permission to minister in this church.
Amen.
You are allowed to minister in this church. In fact, you're saved in order to serve. 20 years ago, when Saddleback Church in Southern California had grown to about 500 people, Pastor Rick Warren said, folks, I'm out of energy. The church is getting so big, I can't do much more. And he said, as I read the Bible, it doesn't say I'm supposed to do it all anyway. He says, so I'll make you a deal. I'll do the ministry. If you'll do the ministry that God's gifted you to do, then I'll do the ministry that He has called me to do. I'll do my part, he said. And then he encouraged everyone in the congregation to turn to someone and shake hands and make a pact together. And it was after that that the church began exploding with growth into what it is today. I suggest we make the same deal tonight. We, as your pastors, pledge to serve faithfully in our area of giftedness if you'll serve the same way in yours. And can we shake on it? Deal? Can we make a deal about this? All right, so far, what have we done here? We have, I forgot my I word. We've been informed. We need to be informed about spiritual gifts and be influenced by the Holy Spirit, the giver, and incorporate these gifts in next time. Lord willing, next Wednesday, let's identify our spiritual gifts. We'll talk about that next time. Identifying them, implementing them into service, and intensifying our gifts as well. Let's be done. Any thoughts or comments? Questions? Disagreements? Agreements? I'm going to help you to stop being what you are right now, which is ignorant, he says. I don't want you to continue being ignorant. Be informed about spiritual gifts. This is an important topic. Too important for believers to be uninformed about. Certainly too critical for us to fight about constantly. We need to find out what we believe, why we believe it, and then find out what our spiritual gifts are and put them into action. We need to be informed. John MacArthur wrote, "No local congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts." Here's a definition of spiritual gifts. One of the best definitions I've come across, anyway. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Now let's understand tonight there's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities and talents. A spiritual gift is given to you at the moment of salvation by the Holy Spirit. Natural talent is something that we're born with. And there's many different ways to categorize the gifts of the Spirit. There's different categories in the Bible. I like one that's suggested by Chuck Swindoll. He says there's basically three kinds of gifts, three kinds of spiritual gifts, based on 1 Peter 4:11. Speaking gifts, and serving gifts, and sign gifts. Listen again. They're speaking gifts. I'm exercising one of them right now. There are serving gifts, and we all use those at times. Many are using them right now in different kids' ministries. And then there are sign gifts, which are more temporary in nature. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says that those gifts, sign gifts, were given to the apostles for a time, for a sign. They were critical to the church in its embryonic state when it was brand new. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says this, "The signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Signs and wonders were done, and they were sign gifts for a sign, for a time. And then these gifts, very important then in the first century, would start to wane after the canon of Scripture was put together. 1 Corinthians 13:8, just a chapter over for you, suggests that many of these gifts would cease to function, and I believe several of them did. We'll talk about that.
What was that Scripture before?
2 Corinthians 12:12. That's right. Okay, so speaking gifts, serving gifts, sign gifts. Somebody name for me what you think might be a speaking gift, one that you know of. Maybe it's in this passage, maybe it's in a different passage. What's a speaking gift? Any ideas? What is it?
Like a preacher.
Like a preacher, yep. Pastors and teachers. Pastors, teachers, prophesying is one. The gift of prophecy, that's my highest one.
Yeah, thus saith the Lord.
Okay.
Proclamation of.
That's right. Evangelism is probably a speaking gift because you are going and speaking to someone. Doesn't matter the size of the crowd, it's just that you're speaking the word to someone. Word of wisdom from our passage tonight. These would be speaking gifts. How about service gifts, ministry gifts, service gifts? These are found primarily in Romans 12.
Jesus lists several men in Matthew 25.
Yeah. Okay.
Visiting, serving, meeting needs.
Visiting, serving, meeting needs. These are good things. Any other serving gifts that come to mind? Giving is one. The gift of faith, I believe. Exhortation. Administration, which is leadership, could be considered a serving gift. Mercy could be considered under that. Now name for me what you understand to be a sign gift. For a sign, for a time.
What she's doing up there?
Sign gift. She's got the sign gift up here. No. Sign gifts, what are they?
Speaking in tongues.
Interpreting tongues. What else? Right in our passage tonight, if you look down in verses 9, 10, you might see some more. What else do you see there?
Healing.
The gift of healing. We know God heals. That's not in question here. We're talking about a person having the gift. The gift of healing. Something else? Miracles, yeah. Distinguishing of spirits is one listed as well. Sign gifts, okay?
You know, we're told to discern the spirit even today. So discernment is still...
Gift of discernment is...
It's still valid.
Still valid today, not listed under sign gifts. That's right. Okay. If you were to add up all the distinct spiritual gifts, you'd come up with about 20 that are listed in Scripture. And each list is a little different than the other, or a lot different. In other words, no list appears to be exhaustive, and so there may be more gifts. Sometimes we recognize in someone a gift and we're not sure how to label it. You know, there could be more. These gifts are found in four books of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12 we're looking at now. Romans 12, which we'll study in a later message. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Primary places where these gifts are listed for us and described. So that's a little description of the gifts right there. Now let me give you something on the distribution of gifts. As we study this topic of spiritual gifts, it's important to keep in mind that we're commanded to do much of the things that are listed as spiritual gifts. A lot of things that are spiritual gifts are actually things that we're commanded to do whether we have the gift or not. For instance, the Bible does say that there is such a thing as the gift of giving, but no Christian should say, oh, I don't have that gift, so I don't give. Right? We're all supposed to be givers to some extent. Likewise, we're not excused from our obligation to witness just because we say, oh, I didn't test high on evangelism. So this all comes under not being ignorant, be informed about spiritual gifts. Now, the next couple of verses tell us to be influenced. First of all, be informed. Now, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, that is, idols that are not alive, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, except it be by the Holy Ghost. What are we talking about here? Paul is saying you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit, nothing spiritual. You need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our focus must be on Him when we think about spiritual gifts. Put another way, focus not on the gift, focus on the giver. Did you hear that tonight? When it comes to spiritual gifts, a lot of times we're guilty of focusing so much on ourselves or the gift that we have. Don't focus on the gift nearly as much as you focus on the one who gave the gift, the giver. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit more than anything. Paul reminds us that before we were saved, we were led astray by our emotions and false doctrines. But now that we're believers, the Holy Spirit keeps us straight and empowers and energizes us for the ministry. You know how it's true? No one can be saved except for the Spirit drawing.
When he says, when that which is perfect or when maturity has come, then these things will cease. And it's a thing of ego where they were even basically saying to each other, since I'm a Peter and I have this gift, you don't have this gift, I'm superior and more mature. But Paul is bringing it down to the basic thing of immaturity where they get meshed together.
Yeah.
And fit as a fit body.
That's right. These are good thoughts. And here's the goal, folks, tonight. Nice segue. We've all been gifted differently, and so we all act differently. And we all serve differently. But here's what you got when you lump us all together in the church. Here's what you've got. This church has every gift that is needed in order to function as a biblical community. You know, sometimes we're guilty as a church of saying, Lord, send us some talented people. What do we mean by that usually? Singers? That kind of talent? What kind of talent are we talking about here? God sent us some gifted people. He says, everybody I've sent you is gifted. And in just the right way, to complement one another, to get it all done. 1 Corinthians 1:7, at the very beginning of this book, it says this, so that you come behind in no gift. In other words, you're not lacking anything. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse was written to the entire church at Corinth. Even with all its problems, and it's probably one of the most problemed churches of all time, that community of faith, Corinth Baptist Church, did not lack in any spiritual gift. And likewise, Grace Baptist Church has just the right amount of spiritual gifts. And when God sends us somebody else, it's because He wants to incorporate something else in here as well. He wants us to do for them, yes, but He wants them to do something for us also. And so for these reasons and many more, I would love for our church and all churches to lose this whole we, they mindset. What do I mean by we and they? Well, first of all, there's the clergy and there's the laity. So many churches, there's this huge chasm, this big divide between the clergy, look at me, and the laity. All right? Maybe all our shirts should be the same, after all. That's what I'm saying. All our collars should be the same as well. There's the pastors, there's the people. In our minds, it's like there's this big difference, and in God's mind, there's not that big of a distinction. But it's way too common in churches today that they're viewed on different levels when we're all part of the body of Christ. I just happen to be called to function in a way as a local head, okay? Because the body has to have one of those too. But I'm just part of the body. And what in the world could the head do without a body beneath it? You can't lead without followers, can you? They say if you think you're leading and you look around and no one's following, you're just taking a walk. And heads can't walk either without some other members of the body functioning to keep it on the move. Please call me Brother Jerry, all right? Steve Proctor will be here in a week and a half. He's a doctor. Most people don't know it. Yeah, that's right. Dr. Proctor. Can't you see I'm burning, burning? Dr. Proctor. Okay. Don't sing that to him when he comes. He prefers to be called Brother Steve. Hey, I'm just one of you. He taught me this. Don't go by Reverend. I hate that term Reverend. The Bible says Reverend is his name. He's the one that's due reverence, and I am not. So where in the world did we get this idea of calling somebody like me reverend? Give reverence to that guy. No. No. We're all ministers. We're all priests. I'm pointing at you too, according to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, he's made us all his ministers, his priests. And when he's talking to me, it's in Ephesians 4:12. It says that you are here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Some say, well, which is it? Are you for the work of the ministry, Pastor, or are you for perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry? Both! I'm here to do the work of the ministry, and the best way I can do it is to teach others to do it with me. That's what it is. That's what he's about, too. That's what Brother Jerry's about. Yeah, edifying of the body of Christ. So, we're about done here. Here's an exciting truth to cap it off with tonight. Okay, you ready for an exciting truth? You have permission to minister in this church.
Amen.
You are allowed to minister in this church. In fact, you're saved in order to serve. 20 years ago, when Saddleback Church in Southern California had grown to about 500 people, Pastor Rick Warren said, folks, I'm out of energy. The church is getting so big, I can't do much more. And he said, as I read the Bible, it doesn't say I'm supposed to do it all anyway. He says, so I'll make you a deal. I'll do the ministry. If you'll do the ministry that God's gifted you to do, then I'll do the ministry that he has called me to do. I'll do my part, he said. And then he encouraged everyone in the congregation to turn to someone and shake hands and make a pact together. And it was after that that the church began exploding with growth into what it is today. I suggest we make the same deal tonight. We, as your pastors, pledge to serve faithfully in our area of giftedness if you'll serve the same way in yours. And can we shake on it? Deal? Can we make a deal about this? All right, so far, what have we done here? We have, I forgot my I word. We've been informed. We need to be informed about spiritual gifts and be influenced by the Holy Spirit, the giver. and incorporate these gifts in next time. Lord willing, next Wednesday, let's identify our spiritual gifts. We'll talk about that next time, identifying them, implementing them into service, and intensifying our gifts as well. Let's be done. Any thoughts or comments, questions, disagreements, agreements? I'm going to help you to stop being what you are right now, which is ignorant. He says, I don't want you to continue being ignorant. Be informed about spiritual gifts. This is an important topic. Too important for believers to be uninformed about. Certainly too critical for us to fight about constantly. We need to find out what we believe, why we believe it, and then find out what our spiritual gifts are and put them into action. We need to be informed. John MacArthur wrote, "No local congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts." Here's a definition of spiritual gifts. One of the best definitions I've come across, anyway. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Now let's understand tonight there's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities and talents. A spiritual gift is given to you at the moment of salvation by the Holy Spirit. Natural talent is something that we're born with. And there's many different ways to categorize the gifts of the Spirit. There's different categories in the Bible. I like one that's suggested by Chuck Swindoll. He says there's basically three kinds of gifts, three kinds of spiritual gifts, based on 1 Peter 4:11. Speaking gifts, and serving gifts, and sign gifts. Listen again. There's speaking gifts. I'm exercising one of them right now. There are serving gifts. And we all use those at times. Many are using them right now in different kids' ministries. And then there are sign gifts, which are more temporary in nature. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says that those gifts, sign gifts, were given to the apostles for a time, for a sign. They were critical to the church in its embryonic state when it was brand new. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says this, "The signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Signs and wonders were done. And they were sign gifts for a sign, for a time. And then these gifts, very important then in the first century, would start to wane after the canon of Scripture was put together. 1 Corinthians 13:8, just a chapter over for you, suggests that many of these gifts would cease to function, and I believe several of them did. We'll talk about that.
What was that scripture before?
2 Corinthians 12:12. That's right. Okay, so speaking gifts, serving gifts, sign gifts. Somebody name for me what you think might be a speaking gift, one that you know of. Maybe it's in this passage, maybe it's in a different passage. What's a speaking gift? Any ideas? What is it?
Like a preacher.
Like a preacher, yeah. Pastors and teachers. Pastors, teachers, prophesying is one, the gift of prophecy, that's my highest one. Okay. That's right. Evangelism is probably a speaking gift because you are going and speaking to someone. Doesn't matter the size of the crowd, it's just that you're speaking the word to someone. Word of wisdom from our passage tonight, these would be speaking gifts. How about service gifts? ministry gifts, service gifts. These are found primarily in Romans 12.
Jesus lists several in Matthew 25.
Yeah. Okay.
Visiting,
serving, meeting needs. These are good things. Any other serving gifts that come to mind? Giving is one. The gift of faith, I believe. Exhortation. Administration, which is leadership, could be considered a serving gift. Mercy could be considered under that. Now name for me what you understand to be a sign gift. For a sign, for a time. Sign gift. She's got the sign gift up here. No. Sign gifts. What are they? Speaking in tongues. Interpreting tongues. What else? Right in our passage tonight, if you look down in verses 9, 10, you might see some more. What else do you see there? Healing. The gift of healing. We know God heals. That's not in question here. We're talking about a person having the gift. The gift of healing. Something else? Miracles. Yeah. Distinguishing of spirits is one listed as well. Sign gifts. Okay?
You know, we're told to discern the spirit today. So discernment is...
Gift of discernment is
still valid
today, not listed under sign gifts. That's right. Okay. If you were to add up all the distinct spiritual gifts, you'd come up with about 20 that are listed in Scripture, and each list is a little different than the other or a lot different. In other words, no list appears to be exhaustive, and so there may be more gifts. Sometimes we recognize in someone a gift and we're not sure how to label it, you know? There could be more. These gifts are found in four books of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12 we're looking at now. Romans 12, which we'll study in a later message. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. The primary places where these gifts are listed for us and described. So that's a little description of the gifts right there. Now let me give you something on the distribution of gifts. As we study this topic of spiritual gifts, it's important to keep in mind that we're commanded to do much of the things that are listed as spiritual gifts. A lot of things that are spiritual gifts are actually things that we're commanded to do whether we have the gift or not. For instance, the Bible does say that there is such a thing as the gift of giving, but no Christian should say, "Oh, I don't have that gift, so I don't give." Right? We're all supposed to be givers to some extent. Likewise, we're not excused from our obligation to witness just because we say, "Oh, I didn't test high on evangelism." So this all comes under not being ignorant, be informed about spiritual gifts. Now, the next couple of verses tell us to be influenced. First of all, be informed. Now, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols," that is, idols that are not alive, "even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, except it be by the Holy Ghost." What are we talking about here? Paul is saying you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit, nothing spiritual. You need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our focus must be on Him when we think about spiritual gifts. Put another way, focus not on the gift, focus on the giver. Did you hear that tonight? When it comes to spiritual gifts, a lot of times we're guilty of focusing so much on ourselves or the gift that we have. Don't focus on the gift nearly as much as you focus on the one who gave the gift, the giver. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit more than anything. Paul reminds us that before we were saved, we were led astray by our emotions and false doctrines. But now that we're believers, the Holy Spirit keeps us straight and empowers and energizes us for the ministry. You know how it's true? No one can be saved except for the Spirit drawing.